From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made at a downtown coffee shop. Young men and women sitting around a table, sipping on a morning brew, engaging in a lively conversation. At first glance, you might think they're talking about, I don't know, the latest. What do kids talk about these days? Not kids, they're adults. What do the youngs talk about? I farmed out this intro because I don't know what the youngs talk about, but Emma Ray Stein, our intern, says maybe it's the local indie album release or reading up on a newfangled vegan gluten-free recipe. You know something that the youngs are doing. Hello, fellow youngs, but you're wrong. In this case, the 20-somethings, they're talking about, well, they're talking about worship. They're talking about scripture. They're Christians, and they're not just at a coffee shop to talk about avocado toast or Beck. Fellow youngs. Yeah, they're Christians, and that's what they're talking about in a lot of these settings. We've heard a lot about the rise in the nuns, people who identify as atheist or non-religious, not N-U-N nuns, N-O-N-E. But there's also a rise in the nons, the non-denominational Christians, many in their 20s and 30s. People in this growing religious group can often be found meeting up, talking about faith in coffee houses, community churches, all around town. And denominational churches are declining in numbers by a lot of different metrics. But according to Gallup polling, there is one segment of Christianity growing in this country, and it's the nons. So the total of nons has more than doubled since 2000. Today, nearly 20% of Christians are nons. That's a big, big number for this country. Millennial churchgoers tend to describe themselves as searching for institutions that are armed with modern ideas. And they're finding a range of them in Rochester. So this hour, we sit down to talk about what they are seeking. Let's say hello to our guests this hour. Steve Carter is here, who attends Grace Road Church in the non-category. Welcome back to the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Welcome to Abby Sitterly, who is a singer-songwriter and also attending...
I also attend Grace Road
Grace
Church.
Grace Road, welcome.
Yes.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Also with us is Davis Craig, who's an operations manager for Spiritus Christi Church. Not technically in the non-category, and our listeners are probably pretty familiar with Spiritus Christi's story, but we'll talk about that. Great to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And Josiah Ball is back with us, a member of New Hope Community Church, and he's not just a member of the band, he's wearing the T-shirt.
Right.
Glen Edith Coffee.
Glen Edith Coffee, representing.
I was going to say, like, are you the guy who goes to the band show wearing the T-shirt of the band?
Nope.
You're not?
No.
But you're wearing the
Glen
Edith shirt.
I just came from there.
Okay, so you came from there. So it's cool. Otherwise, would you wear a Glen Edith shirt if you're just going out socially?
I probably, yeah. I used to a lot, but not as much because now they're my work shirts.
Yeah, see? That's right.
So. Well,
hey, welcome. Thanks for being here.
I
want to kind of go around the table, and I'll start with Steve and ask all of you just for a little bit of background on yourself, where you grew up, if you grew up in a household that is sort of considered religious, and sort of maybe a story of where you came to today. Steve?
Yeah. So I grew up going to church my whole life. I lived in California my like early years, the first 9 years, and we went to actually a non-denominational church when I was there. It was Calvary Chapel. It's a part of There's Calvary Chapels all over the country, all over the world, actually. And when we moved back to New York, we were looking for like non-denominational churches then too. So really, it's been in my family for a long time. I did go to, I guess, Roberts Wesleyan, so you could consider that a Free Methodist affiliated university, but really it was very much non-denominational in a lot of ways. And then when I was there, I did attend a few different churches in the Rochester area before finding where I am today. I'm at Grace Road. I've been there for, I think, 6 years now. And Grace Road Church, which is in the city on Liberty Pole Way, and they're considered non-denominational. So, yeah, been there.
Okay. Abby?
Yeah, similar to Steve, I grew up going to Calvary Chapel, but locally at Calvary Chapel Finger Lakes. Both of my parents were highly involved in the church. My dad was doing Sunday school. My mom was on the worship team. So that was a really big part of my life growing up. And then when I was in high school and college, I sort of drifted away from anything spiritual or religious. And it wasn't until my later college years that I ended up finding faith on my own terms and having my own walk with God. And that sort of journey led me to Grace Road, where I've been attending since 2015.
Was there anything that sparked that for you?
I think primarily it was, we were just discussing earlier about how in this day and age we have such a incredible ability to access information, and my personal exploration of theology and church history really invigorated a faith that was my own and not just something that was passed down to me traditionally through my family or my church community.
Seems like it was important to you to sort of feel like you discovered it and had some autonomy over that belief.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I think all of us as individuals, we stand before God as individuals and not necessarily as any sort of hive mind, you know. So having that personal relationship rather than some sort of birthright mm-hmm. is important.
Okay. Davis Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm born and raised here in Rochester, New York. Grew up, started over on Pavilion Street next to Highland Park there. Went to RCN till I was about 5. And it was while we were there that my family started attending Corpus Christi Church. And when I was about 5 years old, Corpus Christi at the time had a split where the pastor of Corpus Christi, Father Jim Callen, started doing some practices that the Roman Catholic Church didn't really jive with. And so they decided that to let Father Jim go, and Father Jim started Spiritus Christi Church.
Ordaining women, marrying gays.
Ordaining women, marrying gays, and giving communion to everyone.
Okay.
Yep. And so really I've been attending Spiritus my whole life, because that's pretty much as far back as I remember since I was 5. And my mom has kind of been the spiritual anchor for me in my family. She's always had a really strong faith, and she's a social worker, really committed to service. My dad, he's agnostic, but there's always just been a spirit of service in my house and just treating other people with kindness and respect. And growing up, I ended up going to Pittsford High School, so we moved back to Pittsford, went to McQuaid for a few years, and then similar to Abby in high school and college, I kind of got away from my faith. I didn't really spend a lot of time thinking about God, was just kind of caught up in really going to school and getting a degree and figuring out my life and career and all of that, but after college, I really was able to kind of come back and realize that I couldn't do it on my own, and decided to really try to just surrender to a higher power and live a life of faith and try to live out Jesus' teachings.
And Spiritus is a good home for that.
Oh, yeah. I love it. Yeah.
Okay. Josiah.
I grew up in the church, much like everyone else, except my parents were the head senior leaders, pastors. They co-led the church together.
Can we ask which church?
It was called Lighthouse Community Church, and it was in South Butler, New York. It's a little town. If you blink, you miss it.
I only know North Butler.
Yeah, that's how it goes. No, it's like towards Wolcott, Red Creek, Oswego area, yeah. All that kind of stuff. So that's where I grew up and went to church my whole life. Loved it. I feel like I really had a personal conversion because you grow up like these guys. You grow up and it's just like your parents did. And My parents never forced me to do anything. Once I turned 13, they're like, you don't have to go to church. I'm like, I love church. I love the environment. I love the people, the community. And when I was 16, I really felt like I gave my life over to God. And through the years, I have a degree in theology, associate's degree, and went to Elam Bible Institute in college. And that's in Lima, New York. And then hopped around different churches. And I'm currently at New Hope Community Church in North Chilai, where I'm the youth pastor there.
It's in the non-category.
It is in the non-category.
Okay.
Yes.
By the way, is everybody okay with the term hipster coffee Christian?
Yeah.
Is that all right?
We'll own it. Yeah.
You're going to own that?
Yeah, we'll
enjoy
own
my coffee.
Yeah.
I wouldn't consider myself a hipster coffee Christian, but, you know, if there was a hipster coffee Christian playlist, I think I'd enjoy it. on it.
I loved finding that. I thought, this is so just like chef's kiss for this. Are you not a coffee drinker?
I'm not, actually.
Oh, so you're sort of excommunicated from the drinker.
I think I'm the only one, but yeah.
I'm a social drinker, so I don't really drink it that often. So.
Like a coffee agnostic.
Yeah, we'll say
typical
that.
Non.
Are you a coffee drinker, Abby?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. All right, good. Well, I mean, we got to have some standards. listeners, if you want to join the conversation this hour, as we talk about the rise of the non-denominational Christians, that if you look at the numbers, you know, it's interesting, when we talk about nuns, we talk about people of no faith or atheists, skeptics, those numbers are going up in this country by some measures more than 20% now. But you can't just assume that all religious affiliations are going down. Now, if you are in the Catholic Church, Baptist, Protestant Church, I mean, denominations are seeing congregational numbers dropped. Not everywhere. I get that not everywhere. But generally speaking, across the board, those numbers are going down. The non-denominational Christian affiliation is going up, and it's often younger people, though not always. So if you want to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you this hour. And, you know, sort of similar to describing your own path, I now want to ask, as you look at where you were, either maybe in your childhood, but really in your maybe your teen years to now, how much do your beliefs today reflect where you were, and how much have they changed as you've sort of come into what I think is at least a pretty similar story at this table, which is, despite how you were raised, wanting to feel like you are taking ownership of your faith and you're coming to it in your own sort of terms. How much have your views changed or not changed, Steve?
I mean, yeah, I've seen it evolve definitely over the years.
In what direction and how?
Yeah, I mean, the influence of being on my own at college was definitely a big change, where that's really where I felt like my faith became my own. All the way, I went to a Christian private school in high school too, actually all the way through. But really it was college where I was away from my family, surrounded by a bunch of different people that believe different things, and being able to just have those kind of discussions in that environment really affected my faith. And then as it became my own, there was a lot of more like decisions making, like, oh yeah, like I want to go to church. I want to be a part of like a community. And I, after college, kind of bounced around through a few different churches. I also stopped attending church for a little bit before finding Grace Road. And then when I found that, that's when I really kind of I committed to like, yeah, this is where I want to be. This is what I believe. And just kind of walking along the path with them as they've grown too, getting to know the pastors there have been really helpful too, just how down to earth they are, and anytime you have kind of questions you can talk about it with them. So it's really helped me, and like when there's doubts too, you kind of have a community of people that you're surrounded with that you can rely on or talk with about it. So yeah, it's been good.
Okay, Abby?
Yeah, I would say similarly. I definitely have to credit my dad, especially, for being the type of person that I would come to him with questions about any sort of spiritual longing or faith that I had, and he would say to me, go look it up, and didn't necessarily provide me with a pat answer, just wanted me to do the work and figure things out on my own as an adult and as a human being with personal responsibility. So I definitely think that my perspective on a lot of things has changed as my...
Is there one thing that stands out?
Pardon?
Is there one aspect that's changed out, that stands out as an example of something that's going to change for you?
I think what I appreciate most about how I currently feel in comparison to how I did is paying attention to church history is very important to me. I think that, I mean, there's scripture that says we have to look to the old roads to find wisdom. And a lot of contemporary issues and social issues in the church, both in and also in the secular community, are really sort of buoyed by theological precepts that have already been discussed 1,000 years ago. So what I've appreciated about Grace Road as well is that they also take a very open position regarding questions and rigorous theology, but at the same time, really practical application, which is why attending there, I felt really bulwarked and encouraged in my faith personally.
Okay. Davis?
Yeah, so I really like the question of taking ownership, because I kind of have a funny story about it. So Spiritus Christi, we're a Catholic church, so we do the sacraments, and so you have baptism, reconciliation, and confirmation. And confirmation is when you are usually about your teenage years, and you make the decision to confirm yourself to say, I want to commit myself to God. When I was baptized, my parents made that decision for me. Now I want to make that decision for myself. And I remember I was probably like 16 or 17, and my mom was like, hey, Davis, do you want to go get confirmed at the church? And I said, what does that mean? And she said, well, it means you commit yourself to God, you commit yourself to Jesus and following Jesus. And I was like, no way. I am not ready for that. I didn't know who Jesus was to me yet, and I didn't know what really surrendering myself to God was. So I was like, I'm not ready for that. And there was no pressure, so it was cool. I never got it done at that time. And it wasn't until after college, I was really feeling burnt out. And I was actually kind of doing some soul searching, and I was on a hike, and I ran into this older guy, and he was just, I was like, how are you up here, man? You're like hiking, you're like 80 years old, you're at the top of this mountain. And he was just like, I just give it all up to God every day. He's like, you just got to turn it over. You can't do this on your own. Mm-hmm. And that moment just struck me, and I called up my mom and I said, hey, remember when you said that whole confirmation thing? Like, yeah, let's do that. I want to do that.
How old were you?
I was 22.
So it took another 5 years. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think as I'm hearing all of your individual stories, in some ways it feels like a testament to your families, to the extent that you have some religious family members and parents, mm. though not every single parent, but I mean, I think the majority here, that there was space for you to find a path that worked and not an expectation that you must do everything the same.
Totally.
I think that's yeah. really profound. Yeah. Hmm. Josiah?
Yeah, similar to everybody here, same, you know, my parents, they gave me a foundation, I would say, that they built the foundation for me and let me build on top of that. They brought me, you know, raised me in the church. I was pretty much born in the church, you know, and they were actually laying the foundation of a new building, like, when I was being born, you know, kind of how it was. And they gave me that foundation of faith. I believed, and then I went to a school that believed the same things. And I just kind of like went with the flow of this. Like, I believe this, I believe this, I believe this. It wasn't until about 4 years ago, I was like, why exactly do I believe these things, these foundational things? Why exactly am I following this faith? You know, I do believe in God. I've been all over the world, seeing miracles, seeing God move in different ways. And I said, I definitely believe in God. But why do I believe these foundational things about whatever it is, like end times, like the mm-hmm. world, whatever's going to happen, hell, heaven? Like, why do I believe these certain things? So that's when I started to dig into, much like Abby, like church history mm-hmm. and deep theology. And outside of my own personal degree I got from a school where they had one kind of foundational belief as a school, I kind of decided certain reasons and why I actually fully believe these certain things. And some of my thoughts as a high schooler to college has changed over these past four to five years mm-hmm. because of that.
Do you believe in heaven and hell?
Yes.
Hell in the fire and brimstone way that we sort of think about it?
I would. That's a whole different conversation.
I don't know.
I don't personally. I would say this. I would say I don't believe in a fire and brimstone hell, but I'm still figuring out exactly where I land foundationally on a place, I guess, as hell.
Okay. Heaven and hell, is everyone yes, no, believe? Yes. Steve?
Yeah.
Yes.
Personally, no. I don't believe in hell.
You don't believe God's torturing people for lack of belief?
Mm-mm.
Okay. You do, Abby?
I do.
Interesting.
I think that the conventional understanding, however, of what a righteous God passes as judgment is not the contextual, theological, and biblical understanding of what that is. And so there's a lot of cultural, I think, confusion around it. But however, I personally agree with and testify to biblical interpretation of final judgment.
Okay. You do too, Steve.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I don't know what it looks like,
we're pretty limited as humans.
So with that, like, I don't know how to define it. I just know based on what Scripture says and what I've read, and that is there's something that exists, and mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I don't know what it looks like.
How many of you consider yourself scriptural literalists? Are you, Steve?
Good question. That's something I'm still trying to like figure out. I don't know.
I guess the answer is maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Abby?
I think depending on, I mean, there are multiple genres in Scripture, and some of them should be taken literally and are meant to be taken literally, and others are more, of
course,
metaphorical.
Does this feel like a dodge? Is this a dodge?
I think it's only a dodge if you don't look at the church history aspect of it, okay. And, like, the biblical genre is multifaceted. But I will clarify, I do lean more towards a literal interpretation.
Okay, Davis?
I think I get the most meaning out of the Scriptures, looking at it metaphorically, like getting into the literal translation of it. I think it just, to me, the meaning is in the metaphors. Like, I'm going to be preaching this weekend, and we'll be talking about how the time when Jesus was in the desert and he was getting tempted by the devil. And the devil was like, hey, if you're the son of Jesus, like, you should turn this stone into bread. And I guess to me, the teaching isn't of whether Jesus could literally turn that stone into bread. It's about Jesus had the power to do that, right? Like, just metaphorically turn the stone into bread, but he didn't. He resisted that temptation because he was grounded in God and knew that he was complete and he didn't have to prove himself to the devil. But yeah.
Okay. Josiah?
I would say I take it literally. It's very, I think through history, you know, you had Abraham, Moses, and then all the way through Jesus, Paul, all these guys. You got to look at their time period mm-hmm. and when they wrote it. Yeah. I think people can read it as like a surface level, like they'll see like an eagle and be like, oh, that eagle represents the United States. And like, yes. No, it actually doesn't. Like, it represented something else for that time, you know? And that's how you got to read the Bible, because people can translate it and translate it. And it's
well,
been
and
translated
they do.
It.
Yeah. Well, translate or sort of mm-hmm. interpret it.
Right.
Interpret
yeah.
certain ideas.
There's translations sure. and there's interpretations yeah. and then there's paraphrases. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's so many places I want to go with mm-hmm. our panel as we talk about the rise of non-denominational Christianity. Gallup polling finding that since the year 2000, the number of Christians who self-identify as non-denominational has more than doubled, and now it's roughly 20%. One out of five Christians are non-denominational Christians. In a moment, I'm going to ask our guests why they think that is. But before we do that, just as we talk about the way your own beliefs have formed and in some ways changed, do you think, Steve, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, your views will have changed much? Do you feel like you are largely the person you expect to be in terms of your beliefs? Or do you think that you will continue to see an evolution in belief?
There's different layers of that. I mean, mm-hmm. I think I will continue as I learn more and hopefully gain wisdom. I think there will be different scenarios that I'm put into or opportunities to learn more about it. But at the same time, I feel more grounded in my faith over the past like 6 years or so since going to Grace Road, where it's taught like exegetically, like through the Bible, where you're like learning from Scripture. It's not topic based. It's going into the Scripture, how it's written, and as a foundation, that has really kind of been my like where I go to for understanding, I guess. So a lot of that, I think, will stay generally the same, but there's room for evolvement. I don't know. That kind of is both, but yeah.
No. I hear you. Abby, what do you think?
Yeah, I would say I agree with Steve. I think, of course, nuance is a thing. And, you know, as you change over time and evolve as a person, of course, certain perspectives are going to shift. However, the tenets of Scripture are clear to me, and they are the foundation by which I build my life upon, essentially. So while a lot of things will change, my faith is not like a matter of my own making, so I'm sort of held in it, and because of that, a lot won't, if that makes sense.
Okay, Davis?
I guess in terms of like my core belief about who Jesus is, and Jesus is someone who came to upend the system, to serve the poor, and to bring God's message of unconditional love. Like, I really think that's my foundation. But I'm hoping that continues to inform more growth and helps me, you know, it's the lens I can continue to read the Bible with. And I know that there's a lot of work I have to do there. And also, it's the lens that I can look at current social justice issues with. I think there's a lot of work to be done. And I hope, like, with, like, in our church, we do a lot of, like, anti-racism work and learning about white privilege and, like, how is all of this stuff going together with my faith and how can I take action? So I guess that's where I would hope for more change and growth.
Okay. Josiah?
I think absolutely. There's a lot of things that I'm still learning, I'm still processing, why I believe what I believe. And I think we got to somewhat look to the older, I would say advanced generation, that the people who came to Christ and converted in like the 70s during the Jesus People movement and those things, like those kind of like radically changed people who were breaking their secular albums and stuff. A lot of times I think the millennial generation has this huge middle finger to a lot of the beliefs of that time and like things that changed, but there is still so much like that we can gain from it because a lot of denomination and traditional beliefs were solidified during those times as well, or they joined those kinds of churches, Free Methodist, Baptist, mm-hmm. and, you know, my mom, she got saved during that time. Like it's a whole bunch of different people that are coming from that. And I always go to my parents or my leaders, my pastors and elders and be like, what am I learning right here? Is this value? Does this bring value? Or does this have anything that strikes you as a concern of what I'm studying? And sometimes we work together and then it helps form what I'm trying to say is as I get older, I feel like wisdom comes with age, and that's in the Bible too, like mm-hmm. the older wise, you know?
So after our only break of the hour, we're gonna explore why our guests think that non-denominational church and Christianity is on the rise when denominational segments of Christianity in this country are generally declining, why that's happening. And then we'll get to some of your questions that have come in via email, and we have a number of them. You ready for that? Let's do that after only break.
Sounds
here. Our guests include Steve Carter and Abby Sitterly, who are attending Grace Road Church, Davis Craig, an operations manager for Spiritus Christi, Josiah Ball is a member of New Hope Community Church, and we're back with them in just a moment on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, we sit down with the remarkable Dr. Pat Wright, who's been working on lemurs in Madagascar since the 1980s, doing work recognized around the world for conservation, preservation of habitat, species, and public education about what we all can do regarding deforestation, species loss, endangered species, and more. This is one of the real environmental leaders around the world, and she's with us next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Was disappointed to find out that Davis Craig is not a coffee drinker because I thought we had the quintessential group of hipster coffee Christians with us. You see groups in coffee shops in our city talking scripture and really sort of having conversations about belief, studying, having dialogue. And, you know, so we sort of tongue-in-cheek used that term. But really, this is a conversation about the rise as we see the nuns, the N-O-N-E, the people who are not religiously affiliated, rising alongside a rise in the nuns, Christians who are non-denominational. And our panel this hour are Christians who are non-denominational. And Steve Carter, why do you think the nuns are the rising segment of Christianity in this country?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been kind of, I'm going to use the word evolution, which... That's a controversial one, I guess.
Is it controversial?
I don't know.
You guys?
No, not in this context. But but no, it's kind of been over time as you've seen these. I guess with a lot of traditional churches, oftentimes there's layers that are added upon those churches. So I mean, one like as you growing up in the church, not like making it your own. So now making it your own allows you to explore and ask questions, and there's opportunities, and you kind of maybe go towards where other people your age or other people that are asking those same kind of questions are. So I think that's part of it. But then when going back to where I was trying to go, the change that's happened in a lot of the traditional churches, you see a lot of them are based in like maybe traditions or doing the same thing the same way for so long. And with a lot of non-denominationals, it's kind of getting rid of like these added layers of rules, perhaps, that aren't based in scripture. And seeing that, just me growing up and not going to traditional churches, I felt out of place every time I like visited one. And so there's something about non-denominational, where it's the focus is on scripture, on the gospel, on Jesus, rather than all these other things that are kind of on the periphery.
Okay, and, and I don't mean to put you on the spot. I totally understand the point you're making. Is there an example of a rule that stands out that you go, eh, that didn't fit me or this didn't work for me?
I mean, like, you could get into some of, like, the funny ones, but, like, no dancing, you know? Like, some churches that you're like, you can't dance here, you know?
No dancing.
Yeah. I'm just throwing out. That's an easier, soft one, I guess. Yeah.
No dancing.
I mean,
card playing too.
Yeah, card playing.
Playing cards. That's a thing.
That's a thing?
That was a thing. A big thing back then, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No card playing.
Yeah.
What's the issue with card playing?
I think it's frivolous games. Yeah. I think. I don't know. These are many of the, sadly, social, conventional, weird rules that crop up, I think, when we get distracted from paying attention to what the gospel is and what scripture clearly says. We try to tack on a lot of things to earn salvation.
So do you agree with Steve that those rules felt like too many strictures for a growing group of younger adults who were looking more for actual ideas and exchange of ideas as opposed to making sure every little rule is followed? Is that part of this, you think?
Sure. I think to some degree. I kind of see denominations as like archipelagos, right? Like you have all these little islands grouped together and we all agree on maybe some like very basic tenets, but there's a lot of striation in between us. And what I think non-denominational churches end up doing is we agree on the core tenets of Christianity, but then we also acknowledge that there are really wonderful things like in the Catholic tradition, like Davis, for example, and in the Episcopalian tradition and Eastern Orthodoxy and stuff like that, there are really rich insights that come out of those traditions. But I think there tends to be sort of like a, I don't want to say a shunning, but definitely like a withholding from each other. So non-denoms are really great in the sense that we can have these richer conversations about ideas that maybe in more denominational or stricter denominational holds we wouldn't have.
Before I turn to Davis, Steve, are you okay there? You almost fell out of your chair when she said the word archipelago.
No, that was good. I couldn't describe it better.
That was a beautiful way to describe
Thank
it.
You.
And I thought
songwriter.
That's you see why we have a songwriter here? Because it nearly knocked you out of your chair.
Yes, it did.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
I just want to make sure you're right. Davis, why do you think the nuns are on the rise?
Well, I think I can speak to really at least in my experience going from the Roman Catholic tradition, which is, you know, one of the major denominations, to being independent Catholic. And I do really like that word that Steve used of evolution, because I feel like there's an evolution of thought, and the millennials all feel it. Like, we've grown up in it, and there's just some ways of thinking that are commonplace for us that aren't common for past generations. Like, I think millennials are very, like, LGBTQ, like, positive. Like, everyone is on the same page that being gay, at least this is the type of thinking that I believe in, is, like, being gay, that's not a sin. Like, love is love, and like people, everyone needs to be treated with Jesus's love, and that's the type of thinking that I think was evolving in the Catholic Church. Things around LGBTQ, things around why do we still have only men on the altar? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, maybe male superiority was part of evolution when there was a time of survival and, you know, men were the strong protectors, and it's like, but like now we're in a time where it's like, do we still need to have the men on the top and in positions of power and women on off the altar
sure,
and to the side?
And if I could, Davis, I mean, just sort of building on what you're describing is an issue that the Catholic Church is grappling with.
Yeah.
It's an issue that obviously led to the creation of Spiritus from Corpus.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm thinking of a line in a film that I haven't even seen yet, but I've seen the scenes from The Two Popes, in which you have Anthony Hopkins, who plays Pope Benedict, and Jonathan Pryce, who plays Pope Francis. And they're essentially arguing about these very ideas.
Right.
Generally speaking. The strictures, the limitations.
Yeah.
And Francis is saying, there's too many walls. You're putting up all of these walls for people who might want to be here. And Benedict is saying, a building without walls cannot stand. Mm. And it made me think, well, maybe what the Benedicts of the world want, arguably, is sort of just everyone sitting in an open field, free to kind of join where you want. Why do you need walls? But these are the debates that are still happening.
Totally.
For sure.
And actually, that makes me think of some of the scripture of Jesus. Like, Jesus didn't go to the temple. He didn't go to the big buildings. He went out to the margins.
Yeah.
He went out to the spaces. So I think there's like that modern thought. That's kind of the evolution of thinking. And yeah, that's the space that
I'll add on to that quick. One of the things that I've loved about the non-denominational churches that I've attended too is a lot of them, to especially Grace Road, really, it's not about like taking your congregation and pointing them inward and trying to keep them contained and within your boundaries all the time and like telling them how they should be, and it's all there. There's a lot of pointing outward and how you can be a part of your communities and be a part of the people
that's
around
so true.
You and that's something that I believe in as a Christian, like I think is really important for us. And so having a church that encourages that was a key part of why I joined.
Totally.
Josiah, why do you think the nones are on the rise?
I would say I agree with everybody on the sense of like there's this, you know, in the Bible you had the Ten Commandments and they were given to the Israelites, right? And then you had the Levitical law that was given to the Levites. And in my church even, I grew up where people were like, you shouldn't get tattoos because the Leviticus this says this. Right. And it was a struggle because I'm like, I'm going to get tattoos when I'm 18.
I wish, by the way, let me interject and say, I wish we had already gone ahead of time a month because we're going to be on Facebook Live every day soon. Am I allowed to say that, Megan Mac? No, I'm not allowed to say that. I said it. Whatever. It's coming. It's eventually. We don't know when. I'm in so much trouble. Everyone in this building is like, thanks for that. I wish you could. Am I in trouble? No, maybe. I wish you could see. Is that a full sleeve you got over there?
It's like, yeah, almost there.
It looks
We're
great.
Working on it.
Looks great. Anyway, so I mean, interject, but because you're going, don't get tattoos. I'm looking at your knuckles. I'm looking at the sleeve.
Right.
It looks great.
It's a lot, but you know, there's things like that, and I think people just like want to pull out of the Bible. I realize that people want to pull out of the Bible what's okay and what's not okay. Because like couple verses right after that, it says, don't shave your beard or cut your hair. And it was like, this was rules specifically for certain people. And then you had these Pharisees who created these walls or barriers so they don't break a certain barrier or a certain law. So they put up another law, another law, another law. Mm-hmm. So you have to go through these to break these to eventually break the one commandment to try to save purity, I guess, and amongst their people. And Jesus came in and said, the only rule is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. And the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself, or as I have loved you. And that's kind of when you love people, and I think they're in the non-denominational, they're getting a grasp, and there's almost like this Martin Luther Reformation thing happening where it's like in the church today where there is a understanding of these are the laws, and it's our job not to change anybody, but it's our job to love and let the Holy Spirit and God change people and grow and mature people.
When you think about Jesus in that context, it's like, love God, love your neighbors as yourself, mic drop, as opposed to like, let's put up a ton of little tenets here.
Yeah.
It's a very different way of looking.
Right. Well, if you it's hard to love people until you like love yourself fully. But if you love somebody, you're not going to steal from them. If you love somebody, you're not going to murder them, right? These are the Ten Commandments, right? You're not going to lie to them. Mm-hmm. If you truly love people and you truly love God, you're not going to break any of these rules. So this literally is like, do this one law and the rest will fall into place.
Mm. Very simple. Do you guys view Jesus as a person who would drop the mic and then like stage dive and just, you know,
he dropped the mic and go to the wilderness.
Because
I need my time now.
Yes. Very alone introverted. With the Lord.
I have a lot of feedback from listeners I want to work through here. First of all, Jackie writes to us to say, I'm loving this conversation on connections. I was brought up in the church growing up. Lost connection to the church after being bullied for many years there, then found my own path after college in a non-denominational church, and this talk is refreshing.
Great.
Thank
That's
you, Jackie.
Awesome.
Michael says, I was raised Catholic and went to Catholic schools for 17 years. What that did was to destroy my faith because of all the hypocrisy that I saw and experienced. Mm-hmm. How can you believe in a God who does nothing while priests rape young boys? That is a heavy and hard sentiment. And Michael, I appreciate you sharing that. I mean, this community is still grappling with the effects of that.
Totally. Right?
And but I mean, I certainly understand how you feel. Barry writes to say, Shalom. This is a comment on today's show, but it refers to comments on many other conversations. When people on the show discuss atheists, agnostics, and others who do not believe in God, we often say they are non-believers or do not have no belief or do not believe in anything. It is as if they have no morals or ethics to live by. If you look at secular humanists who have not God belief, they still have well-developed systems of ethics and our obligations toward all humanity and the natural world we are genetically linked to. Moral behavior is not reserved to monotheists, and monotheists do not have a monopoly on determining what morality is. Shalom from Barry, who is with the Rochester Society for Humanistic Judaism. Thank you, Barry. I mean, I don't think I heard anything from our guests that sort of contradicts that idea. Right. Unless I'm wrong, maybe our guests do feel like without some sort of religious belief, you can't have an ethical structure.
I think it's possible to have an ethical structure without a religious belief, but I think that for me personally, my religious belief deeply speaks to my ethical structure. And that is, for me, indistinguishable.
Okay, sure. But but Barry, I appreciate the point. And
clearly,
as the host of this program, I would never argue against that point at all here. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, my dad's agnostic, and I would say he has an amazing moral structure and belief set. So,
yeah. Okay. I would say there's some people who are atheist, agnostic, who have better ethical structure than some Christians. Mm. In some ways,
yes.
Like people that claim that they're Christian or are moving in like love towards others, that, you know, you got certain churches that are holding up signs saying God hates certain people or they're, you know, all these people fighting in different churches.
Yeah.
And it's like there's nothing biblical about that kind of lashing out towards people.
No.
Yeah.
Agreed.
By the way, speaking of sort of the behavior of Christians vis-a-vis agnostics or atheists and sort of assessing the ethics and morality, it was just last week that Pope Francis suggested that President Trump is perhaps not even a Christian. And the White House fired back and said, how dare you? No one has any right to judge anybody else's faith. It was an interesting sort of moment. Is it okay to kind of assess someone's actions and say, look, you say you're a Christian, but what are you doing here? Is that all right, Josiah?
The Bible clearly says they will know you're Christians by your love. That's all I'm going to say, I think, for now.
Davis?
I mean, I think that Christ gave us a clear set of values to live by and how to treat other people with kindness and respect. And I think that the president of our country has, on many occasions, not done that. So I think it's a fair statement to say that he hasn't lived in alignment with Christ's values. And not like it's, I'm not trying to make a huge like black and white statement like he's not a Christian, but I think it's a fair perspective.
Okay. I mean, because it's probably, at least my point of view is, I don't know too many people who don't occasionally act in a way that's hypocritical to what they profess to value or believe.
Sure.
We are human in that way.
Yep.
But you're saying, maybe don't say you're not a Christian, but say your actions certainly do not reflect what it appears to be a Christian.
Yep.
Is that fair? Is the Pope out of line when he makes that suggestion, Abby?
I think Scripture is very clear in that God says you will know them by their fruit. However, it also says that only God knows the heart. So if that's the case, we see what fruit there is, and we primarily pray. We pray a lot for the people that we think are absolutely Christians and for the people that we're not sure, but that's not our place necessarily. And our primary place is in intercessory prayer for them and trusting that they're held by God just as much as I am.
Okay, Steve?
Yeah, I was literally going to say what you said, Abby, about knowing them by their fruit. And so I feel like that's a key part to really understanding where your heart lies and what motivates you too.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
I want to put a pin in the prayer thing because that could be its own hour. If we got time, I'm going to get back there.
That's
but briefly,
my favorite topic.
I have a bunch of listener questions just about various issues, which I'm sure happens for, well, really anybody, but you know, people like Cindy are asking, do your guests generally have common stances on hot button issues, LGBTQ rights, abortion, et cetera? I don't know. I mean, we got four guests here. They don't represent everybody in the nons. everyone's different, but do you think there's generally an alignment of beliefs on certain things, Steve? I mean, is
I think there's changes
politically,
yeah,
or whatever.
I mean, the thing that I guess bothers me, this is me personally,
yeah,
is that there's usually an assumption that, oh, if you say you're a Christian, it means you believe all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's strictly all these things. And I don't really like the term evangelical being used when it comes to politics right now, because I feel like evangelical has turned into kind of like a voting block.
Yeah,
a voting block.
Right.
Agreed. And so I don't like to identify as that because
people may probably assume, they say, oh, you're an evangelical.
Yeah, and it's like, well, that means you assume I voted certain ways.
Yeah.
And that, I don't like to identify even personally by a political party either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be able to have discussion or be able to choose based on what I think is the best for me and best for the people around me, depending on that. So I'm not voting one line or whatnot. And so I think there's a lot of assumptions that come into play when it comes to that.
Okay, Abby?
Yeah, I think I would agree with Steve completely. Evangelical is a really loaded word right now, especially in the political realm. And I think there are, of course, a lot of issues that are really hot button, that's for sure. As far as like my own political positions and stuff, I'm definitely a bit more broad, and I appreciate the sort of intellectual marketplace of ideas, and that unfortunately is not the conventional understanding of what an evangelical wants to do, which is sad. So
where are you on gay rights?
I believe in traditional marriage.
Traditional marriage. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Davis, you said otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Josiah?
I'm traditional marriage.
Steve?
Traditional.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. 3 out of 4. Oh, that's very interesting. I think we're learning a lot. Does that surprise you, Davis, by the way?
It does, actually. I mean, I think that kind of speaks
now
to...
Now we need a whole other hour.
It's a really good conversation here. And it speaks to my assumptions about, like, I said earlier, I was like, oh, millennials, like, we all share this common idea about, mm-hmm. like, LGBTQT, like, that's just, like, a commonplace idea. And like, they're all three, like, well, not that you guys are anti, like, but, you know, they're traditional marriage.
You shook a little bit.
I'm speaking for, I didn't realize, yeah.
I would say, from my travels, one, globally, but even in the United States, the... Like, you have the Bible Belt is what it's called in the South, and they are probably, I would say, the strictest when it comes to, like, rules, like no drinking, no this, no this, no this, no this. And I think that in coming alongside the whole point of this today, why there's a rise is there is a freedom to believe what you believe. And there is a, like, an understanding of, like, hey, we're all learning here. We have the foundational core Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, mm-hmm. Holy Spirit, Jesus. You have this foundational belief amongst Christian churches, Baptists, Catholics, like all these different things. But then there's the freedom to be like, well, why don't you believe in gay rights? Why don't you believe in this? Why don't you believe in this? And kind of being open to that in our generation, and I think more of the advanced generation is also thinking in those terms and ways.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that. I think the non-denominational thing works so well because mm-hmm. we can have, I mean, if you're in a denomination, you're not necessarily being able to talk about these topics with any sort of fluidity or having any sort of dialogue because you're already sort of siphoned into a particular set of ideas, which is what that denomination has provided you. But in non-denominational churches, you can have this interchange of ideas and these theological debates and hot button questions, and you can interact with them in a really more honest and faithful manner.
Okay. And real briefly here, Mary writes to say, hope your guests appreciate that the president is the best thing for religious freedom this country's seen in a long time. They don't seem to appreciate that. Quick response. Is the president good for Christian faith and protection? Steve.
I'm going to say no comment right now. I got to think
All
about right,
that. All right, Senator, you can dodge. Abby?
I think there have been some things that have been done well, and I think that there are some things that have been done very poorly. So also dodge.
Davis?
I'd say I need some examples behind that. You know,
something more specific.
Because I don't really know what he's done for religious freedom, so I'd have to have an example.
Mm-hmm. Josiah?
Yeah, I would agree with Davis. I don't. I know that there is understand like the hot topic issues like abortion and stuff like that, but that's also political. You mm-hmm. know, there's mm-hmm. it's not so much a Christian thing now anymore. It's more like this is politics. Yeah. You know, and so I think understanding and getting examples of that would be needed.
I appreciate you all being here. This hour has gone extremely fast. We didn't get back to prayer. So want to come back sometime, talk prayer?
Sure. Absolutely.
There's certain things I'd love to explore when it comes to the act of prayer. But we're going to have to do that on a different day as we talk about this hour focusing on the rise of non-denominational Christianity in this country. Thanks to all four of our guests. Steve Carter, nice having you. Thanks for being
thanks
here.
Thanks for having me.
Abby Sitterly, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Our thanks to Davis Craig. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Evan.
Josiah Ball as well.
Thank you so much.
I'll see you slinging coffee sometime, probably in the next 2 hours. Short break, more connections coming up.